Robbie Bola from the WTV. Robbie, how you living?
Last night's game wasn't so good, but I'm recovering somewhat today. So I'm a little in better spirits than I was driving home last night.
What in tarnations happened last night?
The perfect storm. I mean, literally, they finished the national anthem, and right before the first pitch, it was like a monsoon, and we had a half-hour rain delay before the game even started. The rain held off the rest of the way, but St. Mary's just hit everything, literally, that the BYU pitchers were throwing at them.
Yeah, how has BYU's pitching been the last few games? I mean, was it was there a particular thing that was happening in this game? Were they just leaving the ball over the plate? Were they hitting off speed? Were they hitting every fastball that was thrown at them? Just break down the pitching of BYU in these last few games, and what's awry?
Well, St. Mary's is a very good hitting team. They have 10 players hitting over 300. That said, 14 runs last night was the most that BYU's allowed at home this year. They also gave up 11 on the road to Pacific last week, so a couple times they've really been hit hard. And last night, I mean, it was Colton Mahoney, who earlier this year had 15 strikeouts, last year threw a no-hitter. He still had 7 strikeouts yesterday. He was bringing good stuff, but the problem was that he still was very hittable, and that middle part of the lineup for St. Mary's was unbelievable. The 3, 4, 5 hitters all had at least 3 hits, at least 3 hits. So you couldn't pitch around anybody. And once you got to that heart of the order, they just kept eating Colton up and then Maverick Buffo after him. And I know Mike Littlewood said the team's trying to find this identity after Eric Urie got hurt. And I pointed out to him postgame, I said, you know, but having Eric Urie in your lineup, the right fielder, isn't going to change the fact that St. Mary scored 14 runs. So you can't really blame that on Eric Urie. But he said it perfectly. He was going to tell his team, we're not as bad as we played, and St. Mary's isn't as good as they played tonight. And hopefully that's the case coming in tonight. But those 3, 4, 5 hitters just absolutely lit up BYU last night.
I heard that Bronco Mendenhall will be throwing the first pitch of tonight's game. What do you expect from Bronco? Will he bring the heat or just lob it in safely?
You know what? At this point, I remember Vance Law always telling me, it doesn't matter how hard you can throw as long as you can throw strikes. So Bronco could hit 100 on the gun, but if he's nowhere near the strike zone, that's not really going to be effective, right? So maybe he should just go safe and lob it in there and just make sure he gets the strike call.
I want him to live a little bit dangerous. I don't want to throw a freaking fastball right down the pipe. Practice it a little bit beforehand, you know, and then it'll get the crowd hyped. I mean, if he throws heat, if he rears back, you know, just fires one in there, and you hear the pop of the glove. The ball hitting that glove, I think the crowd will go wild.
The problem with these guys throwing a first pitch is none of them go do any bullpen sessions. If you're going to throw out a first pitch like Broncos, you got to go 5 or 10 minutes, just go practice throwing in the bullpen.
You can't have anyone see it either. It's got to be kind of like, no, this is how I usually throw. Yeah,
you got to go in the cages down underneath. Yeah.
Keep yourself hidden. What do you expect from BYU tonight? What's the key to victory?
They know now they have to win this series in order to stay a game up on LMU, which I guess isn't that critical because they have the tiebreaker against LMU, but you don't want any added pressure going into your final West Coast Conference series next week. And you're at home, where BYU is 13-3 this year. So they absolutely expected to win this series, and having lost the first game, now they have to win the next two. They saw what St. Mary's is capable of doing offensively. I don't think that they're going to go out there thinking, well, we obviously need to score more than 14. They don't expect St. Mary's to score 14 on them again. But I think just this sense of urgency will finally help BYU. They got a little comfortable riding the 5-game win streak to Pacific, saying our last 3 series are all against teams in the bottom third of the conference. We're going to coast into the West Coast Conference tournament, and that has absolutely not been the case. They've now lost 3 of 4 against teams that are worse than them if you look at the record and where they are in the standings. So I'm hoping this will at least maybe just put a sense of urgency into this ball club. And silver lining, Brennan Lund had a 24-game hit streak snapped. Dylan Robinson had a 9-game hit streak snapped. So as they go into the batter's box, they're probably not really thinking about that anyway, but it can always be in the back of your mind. Now Brennan gets to go up to the plate and not have this long hitting streak on the line and really just have his head clear as he faces these pitchers. So I think the fact that those two guys had their hit streak snapped will help clear their head a little bit.
So it sounds like BYU's been dealing with some injuries. Obviously, Eric Urie, he broke his hand against San Francisco, and Brennan Lund. It sounds like he tweaked his back earlier in the week in the weight room. Do you think that's going to affect the team at all? Because, I mean, Brennan Lund's been the leadoff batter for the last 2 years. I could be wrong there.
He's let off every game of his career so far. He's just a sophomore. He did play yesterday, and he'll be able to keep playing. It was something he was able to work through, so I would anticipate him definitely being able to be in the lineup and hitting in that leadoff spot again. The Eric Urie injury, it surprised me how much BYU has struggled with that, because they've had six or seven guys hitting over 300, not quite the 10 that St. Mary's has, but they've had great bats. And in years past, you lose somebody like Eric Urie hitting in the 330s, then that just cripples the team offensively when they didn't really have much support there. But all throughout the lineup, most guys are hitting well. So I was surprised that they felt this need to compensate for Eric Urie as much as they are. And so hopefully they can just take a look at each other in the dugout there and say, you know what, I don't need to carry this team. I'm hitting over 300. You're hitting over 300. Oprah needs to go out there. You're hitting over 300, and you're hitting over 300. And then they can just realize it's okay. This is literally going to be a team effort. I don't have to pick up the loose pieces that Eric Urie left when he got injured, because there are so many guys that are capable of going out there and getting a hit for us.
Robbie Bullough from the WTV on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. He'll be calling the game on our airwaves, ESPN 960. Stay tuned. Give us an update on...
I did last night. Brent's going to be back tonight, though, by the way, Ben.
Oh, Brent's going to be back tonight. You did last night. Oh, okay, I thought you were going to be...
I did last night, but Brent's back.
Okay.
No, we're going to bring our number one starter.
Okay, it's all right. Well, you're a phenomenal reliever, okay? you're an ace on the mound. Robbie, give us an update on the minor league guys. What's occurring? Who's been looking good?
It's kind of a mixed bag right now, because most of the guys have really been struggling over the last couple of weeks. But the reason for that is several of them just recently got promoted up to double-A ball. And when you make that jump from one level to the next, I don't care if it's AAA to majors or single A to double A, there's a bit of a learning curve. And so you get guys like Adam Law, who was hitting 600 in his last eight games at single A, and he in his first two games went 0-for-9. He's actually on the 7-day disabled list right now, so not playing right now for his double A club. But Jacob Brugman, Jacob Hanneman, both recently also jumped up to double A. And struggled a little bit. Jacob Hanneman was a great story. He was on a bus traveling overnight with his team when he found out that he was being called up. So when they got to their destination where they were going to play a road game, he hopped on a plane to Tennessee and on like 2 hours sleep jumped into his first game at the AA level and hit a home run in his first at-bat. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to do a whole lot since then, but I think they're all going to be able to pick it up. They have a ton of strikeouts once they go up to the next level, but Chris Bryant struck out his first five at-bats in his first game at single-A ball when he started in the minors. And when he went up to the major leagues with the Chicago Cubs this year, first three at-bats, all strikeouts. And it seems like every at-bat now he's knocking in a run. So they'll be able to come around and get those bats going. Adam Miller, though, he's playing double-A ball right now as a pitcher. I think might be the best pro prospect that this team has right now. He's now the closer for his team. And in the last week, he has his first four saves of the season. In the last week, they've thrown him in four times in the ninth inning to close it out, and he's been able to do it. Has now gone, his last seven appearances on the mound has not allowed a single run and leads his team in appearances. So that his manager is really relying on him. And Adam Miller's done some great stuff at the AA level. Certainly a huge surprise, I think, to most people that watched him at BYU to even see him at that level and then compare to all these guys and say he might be the first one to get a big league call-up in the next couple of years. That's pretty exciting for him.
Robbie, as always, thanks for hopping on with us. Thanks for the preview. Thanks for the insight into the minor leagues, man. You're invaluable to the station, to this show, buddy. Thanks so much.
Ben, you're too kind. Thank you.